Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn to John chapter 4 again and read it together. I hope that this special portion of the scriptures here in John chapter 4 will not only be written in the Bible, but inscribed into your heart so that you won't forget it, right? It's not good if the Word of God is only in the Bible, in this book, and not in your heart. So let's read it again, John 4, 23 and 24. Right, maybe beginning in verse 21, okay? 21, beginning in verse 21. Okay, 中文先读一遍吧,好不好? Okay, let's read it in Chinese. 21到24,
也不在耶路撒冷，你们所拜的，你们不知道；我们所拜的，我们知道。因为犹太人拜的，如今就是了。那真正拜父的，要用灵和实际拜他。阿门。这样的人拜他，阿门。 必须用灵和实际拜他 Amen. In English. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Last night we talked about the way the scriptures, the Bible, taught us how to worship. Right? God is living. We should not worship God according to our concepts, according to the natural way. If you take a look at so many religions, first of all, they don't know who they are worshiping, right? It's very important to know who you're worshiping. You cannot just worship anyone. If I tell you to worship this pulpit, are you going to worship it? Of course, you said, it's a piece of wood. How can I worship that? Well, suppose I change the shape of this into a little idol with a bald-headed guy and a big stomach. Put it in front of you. Will you worship it? Will you? But a lot of people worship it. A lot of people put it everywhere in their homes, in restaurants. You see it everywhere, right? And they worship such a crazy, dead, lifeless piece of wood. Or maybe made of metal. I don't know. I don't care what material it's made of. But it's dead. Will you worship that? That's why the Lord told the Samaritan woman, you worship what you do not know. So first of all, you need to know what you worship. What about the Muslims? Wow, if you go to Mecca, have you ever seen in videos or whatever, thousands of people bowing down, kneeling there, and wow, it looks like a wonderful sight, right? Isn't it? Impressive. Thousands of people kneeling down, bowing down and worship. But they don't know who they are worshipping. sorry to say, they don't know what kind of a God they are worshiping. They don't know. Will God tell you to blow up yourself? I don't think so. You think one day Jehovah, Yahweh, the living God, will come to you and says, hey, for my sake, Schubert, blow yourself up and kill some people. I don't think the true God will do that. You think so? You think God will do that? Then why would people believe in such a God and worship such an unknown God in such a sincere way? You know, to be sincere is not enough. You can be very sincere and kill somebody. The Lord Jesus says, one day they will kill you thinking they're doing me a service. They didn't know God. When Paul went to Athens and saw the inscription on the stone saying, an unknown God, unknown. Okay, now let me ask you this morning, do you know God? You believe in God. I know you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but do you know Him? Are you in real fellowship with Him? Or you just believe there is a God? Oh, I believe Jesus Christ is God. But do you know Him? Do you? Does He talk to you? Do you know that His Holy Spirit dwells in you? And do you interact with Him? You say, yeah, I know the Bible. I'm not talking about knowing the Bible. I'm talking about knowing the living God. Right. Because our God is living. Our God is living. So, as a living God, you have to live in the fellowship with Him. John said, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. How often does He talk to you? Apart from knowing the Bible, what do you know about Him? Do you experience Him daily? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Well, if Paul is a person living Christ, that means he must be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ daily. Right? People think just to know the Bible is good. That's why they quarrel and they fight and they don't agree, because hey, you have your own mind and understanding about the Bible and I have my own. So if it is just all about this book, my goodness, you're going to tear it apart. No wonder we Christians are so divided. The way I see it is not like that. You're wrong. You're a heretic. I call you heretic and you call me a heretic. Then you go your way, I go my way. Some are for this and I'm not for that. And we fight and we separate it. At the end, how many groups are there in Metro Manila again? You have never count, right? Because you don't have to count. There are so many you cannot count. It's as many as the stars in the heavens and as the sand on the seashore. Nobody ever bothered to count them because there are so many, right? Is that the way to worship God? You worship Him your own way. I worship Him my way. I want to have a quiet way. You want to have a loud way. You want to have a band. And we just want to use piano and we fight. We fight. No band here. It's band. I'm going to ban the band. And you say, I say no to piano. No piano. And you say, I ban your band. Oh my goodness, so what are we going to do, fight? Piano or guitar, they fight. I know, you know, I went to a place in Middle America and they were arguing and fighting in the scriptures about beard. So finally, they have a church with beard and a church without beard. It's a beardless church. Not beardless, but beardless. My goodness, have you ever heard Christians fighting about beard? But they fought about beard. What are we going to do? Are we going to fight here? So, do you think after fighting about beard, you will be more holy with beard? And God will be more, closer to you with a beard? And if you shave, my goodness, you lose God's presence. Wow, so easy to gain God's presence. Don't shave. You know, when I was young here in the Philippines, I asked a priest, really, the Lord is my witness. I asked the priest, why do you have this, what do you call it? I don't know even what you call it, but they have a name for it. So I asked the priest, why is it? Why do you have that? You know what he told me? He says, this is for fellowship with God. Oh, my goodness. You will have a better fellowship with God than I am. You don't. No wonder Hesang, you know, the Hesang, they all shave their head. Ki Guang Tou. Yeah. I couldn't understand that. You know, I laughed so hard when he says that. I don't know what to say, you know. My, I better shave my head because I want to have fellowship with God. And poor sisters, you won't have fellowship with God. You even have a covering upon your covering. These are traditions and concepts of men to worship a God whom they did not know. They don't know God. So if you don't know the living God, then you will do a lot of crazy things that He did not require of you to do. And you think you're doing God a service. So, no. That's why the Lord said 2,000 years ago, the Father is seeking the true worshipers. The true worshipers. So, what are we going to do? The Lord said this word 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine that? 2,000 years ago when He came to bring in and institute the new covenant. The Lord at that time said, true worshipers. It doesn't mean that those who worship in the Old Testament age are false worshipers, but they did not yet live in the age of reality because Christ has not come yet. So at that time when they worship, they have to bring a cow. Oh my, it's so difficult to bring a cow with you. It's a good thing the cow can walk, right? But to bring all these offerings to worship the Father. To bring the offerings. But today, the New Testament age, no more offerings. Because God didn't want a cow. Or a sheep, or a goat, right? But you can really see in the Old Testament age, those are just shadows, types, pointing to Christ as the true sacrifice. That is why when the Lord Jesus Christ came, John the Baptist pointed to Him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. That means Jesus Christ is the real Lamb. The reality of the Passover Lamb. When the Jews came out of Egypt, they have to slay a lamb. Every house must slay a lamb. and put the blood of the Lamb on the low the doorposts. And in the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus came, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, please read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, then you will understand, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, right. We will talk about this later, especially when we come to the feasts, okay? The feast. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, right, verse 7. Yeah. Let's read it in English. Yeah?
Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us.
Amen. Christ, our Passover lamb, our Passover lamb. So, Jesus Christ is the reality of the Passover. Right? And in the Old Testament times, the people of Israel were where? In the wilderness, what did they eat? They ate the manna. In John chapter 6, the Lord says, "I am the true bread that came down from heaven." He is the reality. The age of the Old Testament was not yet the age of reality. So God gave them bread from heaven, manna. Or they used the lamb as a substitute. But this lamb is pointing to Christ. So when Christ came, all of these sacrifices ceased, stopped. No more, because the reality came. So, in the New Testament age, we also worship with the offerings. Don't say, "Oh, in the New Testament, no more offerings." No, you're wrong. No. In the New Testament age, the offerings are now spiritual in nature. In substance, it is spiritual. It's a good thing, otherwise we'll have to bring a lot of cows here and... And John Yao will have to help each one of us to sacrifice and kill the cow and peel the skin and cut it into pieces. And you'll have a big altar outside, a big oven, grill, right? We don't have to do that anymore. But we still have to bring the spiritual sacrifices. So, the worship in the New Testament is in principles the same as in the Old Testament age. Don't think it's different now. It's only different in nature, in substance. Right. So, if you understand this, now let us go back to all these five important points here concerning the matter of worship. Well, last night we call it a worshiping package. Well, you have to have a package, right? You need to know how to worship. Now let's go back now to point number one, the right place. Don't think Jerusalem is over. You don't have to go to Jerusalem anymore. Are you sure? Are you sure you don't have to go to Jerusalem anymore? Do we have a Jerusalem in the New Testament? What is it? Now let's go to First Galatians, okay? Galatians chapter 4. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Let's see what Paul said. Beginning in verse 24. Paul was talking about the law and grace, right? And now, verse 24, he says, "These things are to be taken figuratively." Right? Because Jerusalem in the Old Testament days is just a figure of the new Jerusalem. Right? Now, would you please read it for us, Brother Schubert, please?
Verse 24?
beginning in verse 24.
Which things are symbolic?
Symbolic, yes. In the Old Testament days, these are symbolic.
For these are the two covenants.
Mm-hmm.
The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage.
The law, that's the law, yes.
Which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is.
The present, the earthly Jerusalem. Okay, now.
It is in bondage with her children.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all.
Amen. The Jerusalem above. So how many Jerusalem are there? Up? You think just fell down. How many Jerusalems are there? Today, you have an earthly Jerusalem in Palestine. You can fly with Philippine Airlines or whichever airlines you like to take and go visit the earthly Jerusalem. That's the earthly Jerusalem. According to the Bible, it's over. That is no longer a place of worship. Otherwise, we all have to go there. Right? That's a good thing. Very expensive then to worship every Sunday flying to Jerusalem. You don't need to go there. Now, where are you? Where do you go? The Bible says there is a heavenly Jerusalem which is above. How do you get there? In your spirit. Remember, the Lord says, no more in Jerusalem. But you have to be in your spirit, because now Jerusalem is a heavenly Jerusalem. It's a spiritual Jerusalem. So if you're not in spirit, you're in your flesh, this is very physical. So you have to go to a physical place. Where are you going to go? You still want to go. If you want to be in the flesh, to go to a fleshly, physical Jerusalem, there's only one place you can go. You have to go to Palestine. You have to go to Israel. Ask your brother to accompany you there. Johann can accompany you there. Buy a yearly ticket. So you can fly to worship there. But praise the Lord, you don't have to. But you have to be in spirit. So if you're not in spirit, you are not in the heavenly spiritual Jerusalem. Now, let us firstly read 1 Peter now, chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter said, in verse 4, beginning verse 4, to him cometh, go to him, to the Lord, as to what? A living stone. Even the Lord Jesus is a living stone. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Now, you also as living stones. My, the old Jerusalem, the temple is built by dead stones, by stones you gather from the mountain, right? Hewn out from the mountains. But now, you and I are the living stones. To wash. And to be built up what? What kind of a house? So the church is what? The church is spiritual. You are a living stone, and the church is a spiritual temple, a spiritual house. This is confirmed, we don't have the time to read, this is confirmed by Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. Right, that
Christ is the cornerstone. And we are the living stones to be built up into a spiritual house. Right? So the church is not a physical building with a cross and a bell on top. You know, today you can see there's so many buildings, right? And outside it's called the church of this and this church and that church. And how, I don't know how many churches the Lord has. What did the Bible says? How many? The Lord's body is only one. Sorry. You don't even have to know arithmetic. There's only one. This is the principle of Jerusalem. But if you're not in the spirit, you cannot be one with anybody. No, impossible. You may be sitting here, but you're an individual sitting here. After that, you go home, you're by yourself, you're alone. You're not built up with anybody together. You're the lone ranger. Oh, I'm sorry, not ranger, but you're a lone, what? Christian. I'm just joking. In a way joking, because you all know who Lone Ranger is. Just by himself. Alone. He doesn't need anybody. Are you a Lone Ranger? Just one assistant and that's good enough. Is it like that? No. We are the living stones to be built up together in oneness. The house of the living God. The church is the house of the living God. So you cannot build it by human hands. No. God does not dwell in house built by human hands. So because you are the living stones, born again, the Spirit entered into your spirit. Now you have a possibility to live according to your spirit, to walk by the Spirit. So if you and I do not know how to be in the Spirit, there is no Jerusalem, no heavenly Jerusalem. No, cannot. The church is not a physical building. The church is a spiritual building. And every one of us has to be in spirit. There's no other way, sorry. That is why today it is not so easy because nobody wants to be in the spirit. It's very easy to live in the flesh. It is very easy to live by yourself, in your natural self. But to be in the spirit, I tell you, when test comes, and you'll be tested, then you will find out whether you are really in the spirit or you are a person living in the flesh. Right. Don't think if you pray a little bit, sing a few songs, you're already in spirit. No. You cannot be living Monday through Saturday in your flesh and then Sunday morning you want to come to worship God in the spirit. Impossible. Impossible because you are a person who lives in the flesh, in yourself, in your natural man. So it's hard for you to switch. No. You cannot just switch, just like putting on light, turn off and on. You cannot do that. Sorry. So, in spirit. Then, let's turn to Hebrews, since we are near at Peter. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22. Okay, let us ask Schubert to help us again. Yeah, Schubert, please. Yeah.
But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the...
英文的就好了，才不会乱啊。中文的不要读了，啊，就看就可以了。 读英文的,要不然的话会乱的。
okay, yeah. Okay, please. But again.
And you have come to Mount Zion.
Amen.
And to the city of the living God.
Amen.
Heavenly Jerusalem.
Hey, stop first. Now, where are we? Now.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. You have come to Mount Zion. Where is that? In Palestine? No. No. Heavenly Zion. The city of the living God. The church is not just a place, but it's the city of the living God. And earthly Jerusalem? Heavenly Jerusalem. How do you get there? That's a mochia. You may say, well, we have come to Tagaytay. It's easy to come to Tagaytay. 2 hours by car, you're here. Now, are you just in Tagaytay? Or are you in the heavenly Jerusalem? You better know where you are. Right? You know, we never ask the Lord. Because we just follow the tradition of men. Do what we have been doing 2,000 years ago. For 2,000 years. Christian tradition is almost 2,000 years. We have come to the new heavenly Jerusalem. Still Jerusalem. That means the principle of Jerusalem is still the same. And not only the same, which standard is higher? You tell me. The earthly Jerusalem or the heavenly Jerusalem? It has to be the heavenly Jerusalem, right? And if in the earthly Jerusalem, God did not allow them to divide. That's why there is only one. God chose only one place for all the 12 tribes. Only one place. Otherwise, they're going to have their own worshiping place everywhere. Too far. Why? I live right here in the north, and why should I go down south to worship? God is everywhere, right? Isn't God omnipresent? Don't you believe God is omnipresent? Do you believe that? Omnipresent, right? Yeah, you know what omnipresent means. What does it mean? He's everywhere. So I can worship him everywhere, right? So everybody will be building their own temple. I don't know. Not only 12, believe me, there's going to be 12,000. Because even if you're in the same place, like in Quezon City, you don't meet together. So you have, I don't know, how many in Quezon City? Everyone go to their own, the place of their choice. Exactly the opposite of what the Bible says. You seek out a place of God's choice. Do you have any choice? No, you don't. If you want to worship in God's way, the place you go, you have no choice. You have to go to heavenly Jerusalem. And how many heavenly Jerusalem do you think there is? Tell me, Corina, how many do you think God would allow? In earthly Jerusalem, only one among the 12 tribes, okay? And now, for us, how many? Are you sure? Is it so practical? It's going to be so crowded. Well, we have a lot of reasons not to be one. Our problem is not because it's crowded. Our problem is because we have different views. We quarrel, we fight. I want to be the head, and you also want to be the head. The church cannot have two heads. We forgot that already Christ is the head. So you go and build your own, and I go build my own. So, 你想做头吗? 做头想做头, 掉脑袋了。 The Lord will cut off your head. Because there is only one head, which is Christ. How many heads do you want? Tell me, how many heads do you have? One body, one head. Now, can you have one head and 100 bodies? No, right? How many bodies do you have? You change bodies every day? You can change clothes every day. You can change body every day. Oh, this body is sick. I'm going to use my other body. How many bodies do you have? Are you sure? We say, the church is the body of Christ. Right? Everybody knows the doctrine. Don't you know the doctrine? Yes, don't you know? How many bodies that Christ has? Even the young sister knows. How many? Only one. But how many churches are there now in Quezon City? Almost in every corner. So how many bodies does Christ have? No. Look at Quezon City. There are many. Many. How about in Germany? You have the Lutheran Church. You have the Presbyterian Church. You have the Anglican Church. Many. You have exclusive brethren. You have open brethren. Evangelical Christian Church. You have Christian Evangelical Church. I don't know what's the difference, but the name Evangelical Christian Church and Christian Evangelical Church. Oh, my goodness. And then you have Iglesia ni Cristo. Although my Tagalog is not so good. Hindi ang Iglesia ni Cristo yun. Hindi yun ang Iglesia ni Cristo. I don't know who's Iglesia, but definitely it is not Iglesia ni Cristo. Iglesia ni Manalo, si. Yeah. Iglesia ni Manalo, not Iglesia ni Cristo. Iglesia ni Cristo, the true Iglesia ni Cristo, is heavenly, the spiritual, not a political power and not a political money-making machines. No, definitely not. Right. So you have to realize this. The principle of Jerusalem remains the same. You want to worship God, God has only one place for you to go. Sorry. You cannot say He's omnipresent, He's everywhere. Yes, He is everywhere, but for the worship, He is not everywhere for you to worship. He told the people of Israel, all these offerings, you are not supposed to eat them at home or anywhere that you like. You must bring them to Jerusalem. Sorry. You have no choice. So, this principle you have to know. The principle of Jerusalem. Right. And the Lord said, today it is no longer the earthly Jerusalem, but now the Jerusalem is in spirit. So you have to know your spirit. Right? We all know we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit right here. First of all, it is a small spirit. I should use not a capitalized spirit, but a small s. In John chapter 3, it says we have to be born again of the Holy Spirit in our human spirit. Before you were born again, your spirit is dead. No. That's why no medical doctors know where the spirit is. They don't know where it is. Where is the spirit? They cannot tell you where the spirit is. They cannot even tell you where the soul is. Right? You dissect anatomy. Only the flesh, the meat. But can you dissect the soul? No. Because when a person is dead, the soul and the spirit, with the spirit, goes to Hades. So what is lying there is just a corpse. Not even a body. Is a corpse. Right? So, to be born again, here is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, God's, the Holy Spirit, comes into your spirit and gives you life, and your spirit becomes alive. So, from that time on, you have a choice. Where do you want to live? Previously, you'd have no choice. You live in your flesh and in yourself. Fallen. A lot of problems. Now, you have the Spirit within you. Now, let's put it a different color now. Now, your Spirit is alive. Now, this part is alive. So, day by day, you need to learn how to walk by the Spirit. Now, you ask me, who is going to teach you how to walk by the Spirit? You tell me. Who? The Holy Spirit. Nobody can teach you. I cannot teach you because I don't live in your spirit. For many years, you know, let me just testify to you. Many years ago when I was young, your age, I realized I have a human spirit. The Word and the Spirit enlightened my eyes. So my question to the Lord is, Lord, okay, now that I know I have a spirit, how do I experience my spirit? This was my first question. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, you have to teach me how to walk by the Spirit, because I went through the New Testament. There's no instruction. Paul just says, walk by the Spirit. But he didn't tell me how. Oh, because everybody likes to know how, right? The word how is very important. How. You're like an Indian, the greeting, when the Indian greets you, American Indian, how. So when you see me, you always ask, how? So many Christians, when they see me, how to do this? How to do that? How? How? How do you walk by the Spirit, Karina? Who is going to teach you? Eventually, I found out only one person can teach you. It is the Holy Spirit. This is exactly why the Lord sent the Holy Spirit into your heart and into your spirit and dwells there to teach you. If you will not listen to Him, He will not force you. No. You know, the Spirit is portrayed, shown, depicted as a dove, like a dove. A dove is not like a crow. You chase him away, he comes back. He comes back. You know, especially the big ones, ugly black crow, right? But the Holy Spirit is like a dove, very tender, living within your spirit. If you will not listen to Him, He will not force you. That's why the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians tell us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because He can't run away from you. So if you say, no, stop talking to me, and you keep on pushing Him aside, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, pretty soon you become numb. And how can you then walk according to the Spirit if your spirit and your conscience becomes numb? Right? And then Paul also said, what? Quench not the Holy Spirit. In Thessalonians chapter 5, do not quench the Holy Spirit. You quench it. You know the fire? Set up a candle, fire. Every time the Holy Spirit lighted the lamp, you quench it. You even play with it, and you go like that, and then quench the fire. Oh, are you a Holy Spirit quencher? Or you obey the Holy Spirit? Many times the Holy Spirit tells you, don't do that. You do it. Don't say that. Blow it away. Right? Come to me. Have some fellowship with me. As if you're blowing on a birthday candle. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, Is that what you do to him? Jesse, what do you do? When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you should welcome the speaking of the Holy Spirit. You're in your mind, no, that cannot be. What are you going to do? So how can you be a person who is in spirit? Nobody else can teach you. We have been talking about the human spirit, I don't know for how many years. You know, I have heard this and talked about it for 50 years. Can you imagine? Now you know how old I am. 50 years I've been talking about it. Still many people say, how? I have a hard time. Oh, because why do you have a hard time? Because you're used to... you're so used to doing that. Of course you'll have a hard time. Right? And you're full of your concept. And if you're full of the traditional concept, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you will think, no, 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 that cannot be, because in my understanding, my goodness, you always compare to your understanding. What about the Holy Spirit speaking? I learned this 50 years ago, so what the Holy Spirit now is saying, strange to me. Blow it away. We are expert in doing that. When the Spirit is speaking to you, that's what the Jews did when the Lord Jesus came, because of their concepts. They could not receive whatever the Lord Jesus told them. They said, no, 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 no. According to our tradition, according to Moses, according to our understanding, according to this, what I heard from that pastor, what I learned 20 years ago, what I heard from Watchman Nee, what I heard from whatever, who... Why don't you say, what about what the Spirit is speaking? That is why at the end in the Bible, it's written there, he who has an ear, let him hear what Watchman Nee speaks. Is that what Luther says? What Darby says? Better. What Austin Sparks says? Who is that? That's right. You should ask, who is that? Not only Austin Sparks. If you say, what Watchman Nee says, you should say, who is he? What Luther says, the Germans should say, who is he? Learn to say that. With God, there is no respect of person. If we are so bound by tradition, I don't care who it is, you have to learn to listen to what the Spirit is speaking. Otherwise, when the Spirit speaks, you will... And the louder he speaks, the harder you blow. I'm not joking. I'm just using this as an example so that you can remember it. Otherwise, you can't remember it. We have so much in our heart that hardens us so that at the end, you cannot listen to the Spirit anymore. You don't hear him. Right. So, learn to listen to what the Spirit is speaking. It is the Spirit that gives life. All of the speaking can only give you some knowledge in the head, but it cannot give you life. In the whole Scriptures, starting with the gospel all the way to the book of Revelation, it is the Spirit that gives life. Without life, you have the understanding, but you're still in darkness. And you don't have the strength to do it. So today, if you ask me, how do I exercise my spirit? I will not even use the word exercise. You can exercise unto godliness. But if you want to know your spirit, there is someone living in you who will teach you. You learn to listen to him. Learn to listen to him. Because the only one who can help you is the indwelling Holy Spirit. This is what John 14 says, 14, 15, and 16. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will live in you. He will dwell in you forever. That means He's not going to leave you. And He will teach you all things. And He will lead you into all truth. And He will not speak of His own, but He will receive from the Lord and disclose them to you. And He will convict you. That means you will have an inward conviction that is of the Lord. And He will even tell you of things to come. 1 John chapter 2 says, He's the anointing that dwells in you that will teach you all things. Now, why will you not go to Him? If you want Jerusalem, then there is only one way that we can have this heavenly spiritual house. It is a spiritual house today with us here, and it is a heavenly Jerusalem. That is why you can see the Jacob's ladder, the dream of Jacob. He dreamt of a ladder from that rock, from that stone, all the way to the throne. It even rhymes. And you see angels of God ascending and descending and ascending and descending like an elevator. If at that time there was an elevator, the dream would be, wow, and he dreamed about an elevator, heavenly elevator going up and down. No, you only want things to come down. But you don't want to go up. How often do you go up? Every day. You tell me. Right. So, the Spirit is very important, dear saints. I cannot overemphasize this matter. No, no, no. But, you know, this is not the only point. But it is an important point. Don't think talking about the Spirit makes you to be a spiritual man. No. No. Talking about it does not make me spiritual. It is if I walk daily by the Holy Spirit, if I am one spirit with the Lord, fellowshipping with Him, that will make me a spiritual man, walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit. That will constitute you and me to be a spiritual person. No, not by talking about it. Don't think talking about it makes someone spiritual. No. No, definitely not. So, may the Lord really open our eyes, right? We only have this one meeting to talk about the matter of the Spirit. But we don't need to talk about it every day because the Holy Spirit Himself is in you. First Corinthians 6:17 says what? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. This is a very crucial point in the Bible. Right? Let's all turn to it again. Right? You all need to remember this verse. Right? Johan, can you read it to us in English? Yeah. Johan. Read it in a more, in a way that will enter into our hearts, okay? Emphasize it so that we all know, okay?
But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him.
One spirit with Him, not one soul with Him.
One spirit.
One flesh with Him.
No.
No. One mind with Him.
No.
Oh, one thought with Him.
No.
One what? You
sure?
Not two spirit? Because you are joined to Him. Are you joined to Him? What, in the flesh? No, in the flesh you'll never be joined to him. You'll be far away from him. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now enters into your spirit. And the two becomes one. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Therefore, only the Holy Spirit can teach us. I told some of the saints, many times I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this book is not enough for me. I want you. I want you. That does not mean that I don't love this Bible. But this Bible cannot replace him. It helps you to know him. And it should bring you to him. But you know the danger with God's people was that they loved the commandments so much they rejected Christ. That's foolishness. And Paul says the law is supposed to be like a school teacher to bring you to Christ. And when you are with Christ, drop the law. But at the end, for them, the law is much more precious than Christ. Forgive me if I ask you this morning, is this book more precious than our beloved Heavenly Father? Can you imagine you have a biography? Oh, your sister wrote a biography about your dad. So, wow, you're a wow. Lorraine is a good book. Really true. So you began to read it like Lorraine reading his anatomy and medical books, and every day you just sat there reading. And your dad says, Johan, there's something to do there. He says, no, I love this book so much. Johan, well, I'm busy. I'm reading the book. What is more important? A biography about your dad or the living dad standing there. Yeah. You know, if you love this book so much you neglected the living Christ. Don't say it is not possible. The Bible tells us it was very possible. If you are just reading this book for knowledge, you are very limited. But if you know the living Christ and the triune God, he will reveal to you so many things that is in there. But if you don't care about him, you just care about this, you will become a narrow-minded square face. That's why many times I look at a Bible. How come I look at the brothers? How come their face is different? They're looking more and more like a box. They were not like that before. How come the more I looked, his face was very long and round. After being in the church life for 40 years, his face becomes square and boxy. Don't do that. Don't be like that. If you are just for the doctrines and teachings and theology and knowledge, and well, learn from what the Bible says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If I see Johan one day with a boxy face, oh boy, I'm going to faint. I'm going to run away. I won't come back anymore. No, but if you are a person all the time fellowshipping in the Spirit with the living God, man, your face will shine. You will change from glory to glory. And it's by the Spirit. You will never remain the same. Because the Holy Spirit indwelling you, His job is to transform you into His likeness. You will not be the same. That's why the New Jerusalem today is in spirit. The building of the New Jerusalem is not finished yet. So you have to continue to grow into full maturity. Yeah. If you don't grow anymore, then the church life becomes stagnant, dried up, dead, no more life. That's not good. No, the church life must continue to grow and must continue to really be transformed into the likeness. That's why at the end in Revelation, come, let me read to you. Let's go to Revelation. That singular, the bride, just one, right? Okay, and he? No, in the flesh. He carried me away in the flesh. In the flesh, you won't see anything. Okay, he carried me away in the spirit.
To a great and high mountain.
Do you want to be in the great and high mountain? You want to be in the low plain. Great and high mountain.
And showed me the great city.
Oh, no. That translation is wrong. King James is good in many ways, but that translation is wrong. Babylon is great, but it's just the right translation is the holy city. God doesn't want a great city, but a holy city. You all need to change that. Okay.
The holy Jerusalem.
Yes.
Descending out of heaven from God.
Amen. The holy city, Jerusalem. Thank you. That is the grand finale. The holy city, Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. The holy city, Jerusalem. Don't think God wants just any kind of a city. God is a holy God. Right. Just to build up a big place is very easy to build up something that is holy. Now tell me, why is it so hard to build up a holy city? Is Manila a holy city? No. Okay, show me a holy city in the Philippines. You can break your head, you won't find one. What about a holy city in the world? Okay, show me a holy denomination. You cannot show me a holy city in the Philippines. Show me a holy denomination. So where is this holy city today? You tell me. Now, I'm going to ask you the question, are we building this holy, spiritual, heavenly city, the bride of Christ? In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul wrote, Christ is looking for a glorious bride. The church must be a glorious bride. without spot, without wrinkle. It must be holy and without blemish. Is it possible or not? Tell me. How? In spirit. If we never learn and practice to live by the spirit, you'll be a quarreling church, believe me. Pretty soon you're going to divide. Pretty soon you two brothers are going to fight. Sooner than later. If we are all in the flesh, I predict you're going to fight. But if we are in the spirit, one spirit with the Lord, as a living stone, 圣经说联络的合适, 是圣洁没有瑕疵的, 是荣耀的教会, 是基督的心腹, the bride of Christ, 基督的心腹, the bride of Christ.